I've been preaching, started last week, and I've been preaching a series of messages entitled, Worship's Not About Me. Worship's Not About Me. Every time I set out to prepare a message, I ask myself two questions. Number one, what is your content? What are you going to put in this message? If you don't have plenty of the Word of God, it's not going to be a good message. What is your content? And then what is your intent? Benny, what do you want people? You say, well, they left with 8 different things. No, they can't do that. But I want them to leave after this series of messages realizing worship is not about me. Worship's not about... Did you know this, folks? You can't complain in worship. If you're complaining, you're not worshiping. If you're complaining, you're not worshiping. Because worship's not about me. Worship's all about Him. Amen? It's all about Him. I want to invite you to take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Boy, I'm grateful there's a king that never dies. Amen? And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain, or with two, He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. I believe one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. I mean, you're talking about a shaking. A shaking. You remember the Philippian jailer was in the jailhouse. Remember, it began to shake. The jailhouse rocked long before Elvis. Amen. It began to shake. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. That's what we want to see. If you leave saying today, what a great song, we've missed it. If you leave today saying, oh, Brother Benny preached a great sermon, we've missed it. If you leave today saying, He's a great Savior, we've nailed it. Amen? We've nailed it. Verse 6 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it up on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah speaks up and he says, Lord, here am I. Send me. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about what should happen during a worship service. What should happen during a worship service? I heard about a pastor that got up and he said, immediately after the service today, there'll be a board meeting. There'll be a board meeting. We'll be meeting in room 101, and sure enough, they had service, and right after the service, they had a board meeting, and a lady walked into that meeting. They said, no, no, ma'am, you don't understand. This is the official board of our church. This is the official board of our church. You can't be in this board meeting. Why would you come in this meeting? She said, well, there could be nobody here who was bored as much as I was. Well, you know, folks, if it's boring, I'm convinced it's about us. Because if it's about Him, it will not be boring. Amen? Now, I want you to understand what worship really is. Worship is when we express our love to God. Worship, hey, listen, by the way, and I'll talk more about this next week. This is worship. Lord, I love You. Praise You. But this is worship. Lord, I love You. Both of those are worship. Worship, ladies and gentlemen, is when we express our love to God. And that's what we should do. We should express our love to God. Now, let me make three quick statements, and then I'll preach. Number one, worship's not about me. Worship's not about me. I got a gift for everybody today. I want you to wear it. It's a wristband. And this wristband simply says, it's not about me. It's not about me. By the way, if you'll wear it and live it, it will help you in your marriage. Because it's biblical. Philippians 2 and 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, a wonderful philosophy to live by is it's not about me. The moment you make it about you, you're going to have marriage problems. The moment you make it about you, you're going to have problems at work. The moment you make it about you, you're going to have problems at church. And so everybody, as you leave today, everybody gets a wristband. And the wristband simply says, it's not about me. Now you know, it's probably everybody here knows that Pastor Benny's name is Benny. Most of you, you know, hey, that's Benny. You say, do you want people to call you Dr. Tate? No. Listen. People that have to have that, there are deeper insecurities in their lives. Pastor Benny's ample. But I'm Benny. But you know, many of you, I don't know all of you, but would you do this? When I count to three, 1, 2, 3, would you just, on three, would you just give me your name? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Little confusing. But now let's do this. On three, can we just say the name of Jesus? Let's do this. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Wasn't that so much better? See, folks, when we made it all about us, it was so confusing. But when we made it about Jesus, it was beautiful and wonderful. And when we make worship all about us, we've missed it. It's confusing, it's chaotic, but if we make it about Him, it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's majestic. See, worship's not about me. Worship is about the Lord. It's about the Lord. Psalms 104 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Somebody said, well, I didn't get much out of worship. Well, it's because you didn't bring much worship with you. Worship is what we bring. It's what we do. It's what we leave with. Worship is everything about us. Whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God, the Bible says. All that's worship. Worship's not about me. Worship is about the Lord. But let me tell you something else I've learned. When I was in school, this may shock you, but English wasn't my strongest course. But worship is a verb. Worship is a verb. And not only, ladies and gentlemen, is it a verb, but it's an active verb. That is to say, worship is something we do. Worship is something the pastor can't do for you. Worship is something the choir can't do for you. Worship is something the musician can't do for you. The Sunday school can't do for you. Worship is a verb. That is to say, the only person who can worship for you is you. Now, I want us to look at this story in the Bible, and I want you to see some things pretty quick. Number one, real worship commences with exaltation. Real worship commences with exaltation. I love what Isaiah said. When he said, I went to the service, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I didn't see the pastor. I didn't see any of that. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. See, folks, worship begins when we exalt the Lord. It begins when we exalt the Lord. You know, this whole deal about making worship about us, I understand why we could do it. You know, there were three archangels. There was Michael, there was Gabriel, and there was Lucifer. Lucifer was the leader of worship. If you look in Exodus 28 and 13, I don't know that I totally understand it, but he had these 12 manner of stones in his body. It was interesting to me. That was the breastplate of the high priest when the priesthood was established. I truly believe God was restoring worship because worship had been lost. And I don't totally understand it, but in Lucifer's body, he had timbrets, and in his body, he had pipes and organs. He was the leader of worship. But I want you to see something, folks. Lucifer made worship about himself. And notice what the scripture says in Isaiah. He said, "Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." See, Lucifer made worship about himself. And ladies and gentlemen, he was kicked out of heaven. See, I thought about this. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Folks, what an encouragement today to know. No matter what's going on in your life, God's on the throne. No matter what's going on in my life, God's on the throne. And then I read Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And 700 years before Christ, God was on the throne. But in 90 AD, God was still on the throne. And in 2017, God's still on the throne. I don't know what's happening in your life, but I know this. God's on the throne no matter what. See, folks, real worship is when we worship God just for who he is. Real worship commences. Hey, listen, folks. Listen, let's get this down. Your world may be falling apart, but I'm going to worship God because he's on the throne. Everything might not be going right in your life, but I'm going to worship God because he's on the throne. You know, if you say something to somebody over and over, you're trying to get it to them. This is what I've learned. Let me teach you a little leadership principle. When I confront somebody, if I've got to confront you about an issue, this is what I always do. I'll always start out by complimenting you. You say, "Pastor Benny, why do you use that in leadership?" Now, you're going to confront somebody, but you always start out by complimenting them before you get to what you're dealing with. Why do you do that? Because I want to make sure they're listening. Amen? I want to make sure they're listening. If you compliment them, they'll listen to point number two. But what if you said something? Listen to this. There is a verse, folks. There is a verse that is over and over in the Bible. This verse is in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It's in Revelation 14 and 3. It's in Psalms 53 and 13. It's in Psalms 96 and 1. It's in Psalms 98 and 1. It's in Psalms 144 and 9. It's in Psalms 149 and 1. It's in Isaiah 42 and 10. Same verse. You say, "Oh, can't wait to hear what it is." This is the verse. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. See, when we worship God, folks, we ought to be singing new songs. Because that's what the Bible says. Worship has nothing to do with the style of a song. We're singing words to the Lord. And I say to millennials, a new song to you might ought to be "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me." I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Because see, folks, it has nothing to do with the style of the song. See that right there? Pianos, organs. Do you realize when those were brought into the church, it caused a ruckus that would not quit? Where did they bring them from? The taverns, the bars, and you want to bring something worldly into the church. Now, if we tried to take them out, people would be upset. Folks, it's not about that. It's about singing words to Jesus. It's about exalting Him. Real worship, folks, is about exalting the Lord. It's not about exalting a political party. It's not about exalting a football team. It's not about exalting a man. It's about exalting the Lord. Let me tell you something else. Real worship continues with coronation. Real worship continues with coronation. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to take the time to deal with it. But we worship God for who He is, and we worship God for what He's done for us. Now you've got angels. You've got angels in heaven, and they're going back and forth, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Let me just make this. I really believe this, folks. I do believe this will be the quietest world we'll ever live in. I believe this will be the quietest world we'll ever live in. Because if you're going to go to heaven, it's going to be an exciting place. And if you go to hell, it's going to be a loud place also. I believe this is the quietest world we'll ever live in. Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, it says they're saying, holy, holy, holy. But then if you look at verse 1, it tells you why they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Because they saw the Lord and His train filled the temple. You've got to understand, in biblical times, when one king conquered another king, he'd cut off the back of his robe and he would sew it to his robe. That's what happened with David and Saul when David cut out the back of Saul's robe. So when he saw this train filled the temple, that angelic host knew that Satan had been defeated. And that's why they began to rejoice and say, holy, holy, holy. You know why, folks, we ought to be able to worship the Lord? Because of what the Lord has done. We ought to be able to worship the Lord because Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. We ought to be able to worship the Lord because Romans 8 and 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We ought to be able to worship the Lord because 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We ought to be able to worship the Lord because Romans 8 and 37 says, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We ought to be able to worship the Lord because 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to worship the Lord because Joel 3 and 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. We're more than overcomers because of what He's done for us. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, real worship commences with exaltation, but real worship continues with coronation. I'm gonna give you point number three. Real worship cleanses with examination. Now, you know, Isaiah was one of the great prophets, and if he compared himself with somebody else, he would have been the best. He would have been the best. But 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says this, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. He didn't compare himself with other people. But when he went into the presence of God, folks, listen to me. When he went into the presence of God, he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Listen. Nobody's any more pro-life than Benny Tate. I believe in life from the womb to the tomb. I believe in the intrinsic value of every life. Let me tell you, there's accidental parents, but they're not accidental children. God's got a plan for every life. Listen, I believe in the sanctity of marriage as much as anybody. I believe God created a man, God created a woman. I believe it's biblical. But let me share something with you, folks. Those issues are not hurting the church near as much as the issue that Isaiah was dealing with, the tongue. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. No. That's keeping us from having a revival. We'd have revival if out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The tongue. I don't know. I don't know what Isaiah's problem was, but he was a tongue problem. Much like Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed keeper of the church's morals. She kept sticking her nose in other people's private lives. She made a mistake, however. She accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his truck in front of the bar one afternoon. She commented to George that everybody knew what he was doing, seeing his truck there. George, a man of a few words, stared at her for a moment and just walked away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night. You know what I know? Real worship cleanses through examination. When we really worship God, the Holy Spirit, He'll do His job. He'll show us what's not right in our lives. He'll pinpoint things that's not right. You won't have to have somebody telling you you should quit this, you need to quit that, and you ought to do that. No, you don't need that. The Holy Spirit will do all that. He'll do all that. If you really worship God, He'll show you. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. And friend, Isaiah said, I had some tongue problems. But he said the Lord took his tongue, and he took a coal, and he touched my tongue. That's what the Lord does, folks. Let me really simplify it. God shows me what's not right in my life. And I say, God, forgive me. And He does. He does. Real worship cleanses with examination. I want to give you the last point, and I'm done. Real worship concludes with confrontation. Now, wait. Isaiah had this great worship experience. Came into the presence of God. And then God confronted him. And God said, "Who shall I send?" Had this great worship experience. And then God said, "Who shall I send?" He was confronted. Now, here's all I want to say, folks. Think about this. We come to worship service. The preacher preaches his heart out, voice out. And then it comes invitation time. And you know what's amazing to me? Jump up and leave. Let me share something with you, folks. Many times during invitation time, when I get on my knees and you think, "Oh, what a man of God. He's praying for the people at the altar." I'm not praying for the people at the altar. Many times I'm on my knees praying for me because the Holy Spirit has dealt with me. What an audacious attitude to give an invitation. Jump up, I'm gone. As if it's not relevant to you. You okay? Some of you'd walk out now, but they know I'm loading your wagon. As if it's not relevant to you. How are you so holy that you're never confronted with the Word of God? Oh, I will. Yes, if you really worship God. If you really worship God, there'll be confrontation in your life. Where you say, maybe today I need to go forward. Even if I don't go forward, maybe I need to bow my head. Maybe I need to bow my head. And I need to talk to the Lord. Because real worship, ladies and gentlemen, it starts out with exaltation. But I want you to always know, real worship concludes with confrontation. You know, you live your life by looking forward. But I'll promise you this, you'll understand life by looking back. You can't live it looking back. You can't reflect on the scars. You've got to reach for the stars. You can't unring a bell. You can't saw sawdust. You've got to go ahead. Just go ahead. You say, Pastor Benny, I've messed up real bad in my life. Well, you know what I've learned? A broken crayon still colors. Amen? A broken crayon still colors. But this is what I've learned. After preaching since I was 17, that's been a few days. When I started out my ministry, my whole objective was to make workers out of people. Was to make workers out of people. I got to make a worker out of them. I got to get them in working. I got to get them working in the church. Got to get them working in the church. But the Lord taught me something. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil comes to Jesus. And let me tell you, he tempted Jesus. And by the way, the only way Jesus overcame the temptation was the Word of God. The only way you and I are going to overcome temptation is the Word of God. And basically, he said, I'll give you all this, Jesus, if you'll just fall down and worship me. And see, that's the objective. Listen, folks. The whole objective of the devil is he wants to get you worshiping something other than God. You say, well, Brother Benny, you're trying to make us worshipers. No, you're worshiping something. You're worshiping something. It may be your house. It may be your child. It may be your husband. It may be your body. But you're worshiping something. So all this I'll give you. And Jesus said this. Thou shalt worship the Lord God. Worship the Lord God. And Him only shalt thou serve. You know what Jesus said? Benny, don't concentrate on making workers out of people. Concentrate on making worshipers out of people. And if you'll concentrate on making worshipers out of people, they'll serve. They'll work. It's an overflow of really worshiping God. It's an overflow of really worshiping God. God, that's all I want. I could care less if no one knows my name. I really could care less if they don't even know Rock Springs' name. But I want the Holy Spirit more than I want anything else. I want Him more than, we need Him more than we need anything else. Folks, we've tried everything else. It did not work. All the bells and the whistles, it will not work. All the smoke, it will not work. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So many people are trying to make up on the outside for what's missing on the inside. They're trying so much on the outside to just make up for what's really missing on the inside. We need the Holy Spirit. I can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You can't either. We need the Holy Spirit. And I thought about Isaiah and I'm done. If you can't sleep one night, read the first 5 chapters of Isaiah. Not much happening. But you get to Isaiah chapter 6, and he has the experience with God. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in Isaiah 9 and 6, he said, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then in Isaiah 53, he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He was never the same after an encounter with God, and we'll never be the same after an encounter with God. What should happen during a worship service?
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make. And thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.